Let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Most holy God, as we gather on this day, remember your great gift of love. Let us come close with reverence, with awe, and with joy, knowing that in the light of this new year, your great light, the Word made flesh, will shine upon each dark day, the light of mercy, grace, and peace. And so we draw closer. And in your presence, Lord, we bless your holy name. Father, as we come before you, we worship you and adore you. You are the source of light. You are the source of grace. You are the source of mercy. And Lord, as we worship you, we come to make a joyful noise. We would dare to come into your presence to worship you with gladness and singing. Lord, as we face this new year, may we know you closer. May we know you more. May we feel you nearer. May we understand your words. May we be inspired by your Spirit. For you, Lord, are our God, our Father. We come before you this morning just as we are, just as we have been. We come before you with the stresses, the burdens, the turmoils, the anxieties. We come before you knowing how our own behavior has been, our thoughts, our deeds, our lack of thought, our lack of deed, our words. And so as we praise you, Lord, we come and we ask for your forgiveness for our sins. And Lord, as we repent of our sinful nature, our sinful behavior, and we turn back to you fully, we praise you. For through Jesus Christ, you brought us forgiveness. May your Spirit lead us, guide us, enable us to fully appreciate and understand what that release of forgiveness does as we seek to follow you more. Hear us, Lord, as we sum up our prayers using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours. Amen. Amen. I just want to spend a couple of minutes just thinking over where kind of going in the next few weeks with preaching and looking at the calendar of the year that's to come and some of the stuff that we're going to be involved in over the year. And it's also to explain some other bits and pieces that are going on, which is going to take some of my time up, in particular on a Sunday morning. So the sessions have both agreed to a way forward. And I've explained this before, where we're looking at missional communities, we're looking at setting up communities within the community where we can share our faith and where we can develop a way forward. This is not anything that is unusual, in as much as, well, it is unusual because it's new. It's new to us, but there's other people doing the same thing. And so as we develop missional communities, we're looking at a thing called pioneer ministry. And that is about taking ministry out of the church and going into the communities. And it's about using what's in the community and who's in the community and bringing them together, but not necessarily bringing them in here on a Sunday morning. That's not the focus. What the focus is about developing communities and being missional and sharing with people the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. So that's part of what we're doing. There's a group called the Learning Community, which has been working for 2 years through Priority Area. That involves people from both congregations. And that's been looking at a way forward. And this is where this plan has come from. It's gone to the session. So that group will continue to work. There's also a wee group called A Huddle. And that group, it's about faith development. So they'll be meeting regularly with me, and we just talk through faith and look at it from a slightly different perspective and slightly different material. Some of that material is the life shapes. And you'll remember I've spoken before about the triangle in particular, of a life shape where we have the up in our relationship with the Father, the in, a relationship with each other, and the out, a relationship with the community. So that's some of the way that things are going. As I intimated earlier, on the 19th of January, the Sunday night of the manse, we'll start the prayer course, and that's an 8-week course looking at prayer, looking at how we pray and what we do when we're praying, and what we're looking for through prayer and that connection with God. So that's there, and there's some other bits and pieces that will come on during the year, looking at a thing called Little Houses of Prayer, where the small groups can set together in prayer. There'll be more about that later on. But the other bit about this is that next weekend, Brian Devlin, the community mission worker, and myself begin a course with Forge Scotland, looking specifically at pioneer ministry. And that's 5 weekends through the year with assignments to be done through all that. So that's the whole focus of a direction of travel that we're looking at and building up the kingdom in this place, building up God's kingdom in this place. And very much about that is coming back to thinking about who God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who He is, what He is for us, and what He's calling us to do. I share that with you just so that people are aware that that's kind of where things are going this year. Share that with you because there'll be some extra Sundays where I'm not going to be here, and there will be other people leading worship. So next week, for example, we have Douglas Crichton, who is the probationer from St. John's at Largs in Cumbrae, and Douglas, as he's coming through some of his probation, he's going to be with us a few times just to get a flavour of something different. And so we'll see Douglas around a bit as well. That's kind of how things pan out. I'm happy to talk about that at any time. So if you have questions, please ask me, and I can hopefully share what I can share. But it's about how we look to the future. This is part of how we respond to the Radical Action Plan of the Church. without even thinking about what we're doing with buildings. This is just looking at how ministry is and what it is to be missional, and looking at something different in terms of the radical action plan that the church is bringing through. That and the fact that I've spoken about before, that there'll be changes to presbytery, and this year really marks the start of that. Really marks the start of the process of where we're going in presbytery, where we're going as congregations, where we're going as the established church, the national church. But the focus has to be on Jesus Christ, who he is, and who we worship. And so as we take that way forward, that will be the focus. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. Let's worship again. And we continue with our offering. As we think about our prayers for others, just 2 points I want to raise this morning. And one is to keep in prayer the fires in Australia. Situation's not getting any better. And significant, obviously, loss of wildlife. But there is loss of life, loss of property, as well as the destruction to the land that's there. So just to keep that in prayer, to give thanks for the efforts of those who are actually fighting the fire, the fires. And the other thing is quite obviously the situation with Iran. Something that's developed over the last few days, and we need to pray for peace. There's no doubt about that. So let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thankful for all that you do for us, thankful for all that you've done for us, and thankful, Lord, that you'll be there with us even into the future, to the end of the age. Fathers, we pray this morning. We pray for your people. We pray for your people here in this place, each one on the left and on the right, that sit behind or sitting in front or in another part of the building. And as we pray for those who are here, we also pray for those who can't be here. And we ask, Lord, that you'd bless each one. Lord, as we pray, we would pray that that ripple of prayer would emanate from this place into the community, to the places around us, to the businesses, to the houses. And we would pray, Lord, for the building up of your kingdom, that your people in this place, in this community, would know you, respond to your call, would be assured by your steadfast love and mercy. And Lord, as we pray for our Christian brothers and sisters meeting around the town. May your word be a light in this place. May your word be a light to this community. Fathers, we pray for churches, we pray for our presbytery, and we pray for the presbyteries closest to us, but all presbyteries, as we face that way forward of reducing the number of presbyteries. And Lord, we know that this change will bring an impact. But may it be to your glory. So, Father, as we pray for this land. For this nation. Lord, that we would know peace. That we would know blessing. Your people would know your love and your mercy. That would be ignited by your grace. As we pray for our United Kingdom, again, Lord, we pray against the confusion that we know, the uncertainty of how the future looks. We pray for this world. Lord, we've already spoken about the situation in Australia with the fires. Give thanks for those who are working hard to either respond to the fire, fight the fires, or actually bring relief to the people who have lost everything due to the fires, to those who have been evacuated. And Lord, as we pray for peace there, we pray for peace in the Middle East too. We pray for the situation with Iran. In the midst of conflict, in the midst of violence, in the midst of aggression, in the midst of revenge and retaliation, your peace, your love, your grace, your mercy would be known, would be seen, would be followed. And so, Father, as we pray, we bring the prayers of our hearts and our minds. Just in a moment's silence, just for us to pray. Loving God, Lord of all the living, remember all whom we pray for and forget none whom we forget. This prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways, reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence. Let's worship. So as we come to hear the word of God read for us by Sandy from Ephesians 3 at verse 14, let's just take a few minutes as well. We'll hear it a second time, we'll see it on the screen, and we'll remain seated and sing through Jesus, Take Me As I Am. So let's hear the word of God.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's just take a moment in prayer and give Sandy a chance to get his breath back, and then he'll read that again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit present with us now. We ask, Lord, that as we worship and as we dwell in your word, that your Spirit will just pick out the words that you want us to be aware of. Be different words for different people maybe, but pick out the words so we can dwell in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you And I ask you now that for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I'll be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I'll be very, very clear, and this will bring great honor and glory to your name. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We start to look at this series of the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples when they asked, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And what Jesus did was, he didn't give them a wee suggestion, you could try it like this. He actually said, when you pray, pray like this. Pray this way. And he said that for a purpose. It becomes, and it is, a model of prayer. It is the way to pray. Now, I remember as a young boy at school assembly, the Lord's Prayer was always used. I remember too a point of when I became Christian of going through it again and learning it off by heart again, because actually that's what I needed to know in the service, sitting through the service, being part of what we do. But here's maybe some of the difficulties that we have. This prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer, actually is given to us, to the disciples, by the Lord. And it's a way for the Lord, or for the disciples, I should say, to pray to the Lord. And so is it the disciples' prayer? Is it our prayer? And a way that we've to pray? Certainly for us to use, that's for sure. And actually, as we look at it, what we're going to look at as we look at the Lord's Prayer over the next few weeks, we'll be able to see God's character, something we're going to look at today. We'll see his kingdom come, his provision in our lives, the forgiveness he brings us, the guidance and the protection that he gives us. And so as we look at these different parts of the prayer and different ways of how that works, we begin today by looking at God's character. And actually, as we look at God's character, we need to acknowledge, first of all, we're actually looking at a doctrine. We're looking at the doctrine of God, of who God is. What's he calling us to? How do we see him? I once had a conversation with someone who seriously told me that she just saw God as the still small voice within her. And I don't see that at all. God is someone great, Almighty God. God is the creator, God is all round. And as we talk about him and begin to think about this prayer, we need to let go sometimes of our own perceptions of who we think God is and actually look to Scripture to see who God says he is. And so we start to look at our Father in heaven. From Romans 8, Paul writes this, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So right away, we're in a situation where actually, through the Spirit, we can cry, Abba, Father. We can cry, Abba, Father. We are brought in to that relationship, and we can refer to our God as Abba. Paul says in this reading of Ephesians, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Paul is using the symbolism of kneeling. And kneeling before the Father, it symbolizes submissiveness, solemnity. There's a sense of awe and reverence. And remember, he's saying this in a time where the common practice is to stand and pray. And so Paul's breaking into that common practice, into that long-standing tradition of the way people do. And he's saying, I kneel before the Father. So in that, he's giving in that submission, but it's also that awe and that reverence, and he's looking up to the Father and referring to God as the Father. And earlier in Ephesians, he makes the point that we can only address God as Father through the redemptive act, because of what Jesus has done in his crucifixion, death and resurrection and ascension, access is made possible to the Father through the Spirit. So through Jesus and his actions, we now can refer to God as the Father, and our Father in heaven. Jesus himself says in John 17, I have made you known to them. This is his prayer to the Father, and he said, I have made you known to them. Jesus has revealed God to the people. And actually, all we need to do to see that revelation is to read what Jesus has been doing and to begin to know who Jesus is. For God reveals himself through Jesus Christ. And it's through that revelation we begin to know who Jesus is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. And that's that revelation that comes as we start to think about our Father in heaven. May your name be holy. Hallowed be your name. May your name be holy. 1 Peter, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy. This brings us back, right back to the character of God and who God is. Hallowed be your name. May your name be holy. And actually, we look back into Scripture, we see that those times, particularly when we're talking about God and holiness. The start of the service, we use the call to worship that moment where Moses approaches the burning bush and God says, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. So where God is holy ground. And our first commandment, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God himself is our God. God is one God. I am the Lord who makes you holy. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I am the Lord who sets you apart. Words from Exodus and Leviticus. And so, when we pray to our Father in heaven. We pray to our God, our Father, who himself is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. But he is holy. And in that reading from Ephesians 3 that we had, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Here we go. This is the whole God and the family, every family, the whole family of God derives its name from the Father, from the Creator. And Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So Paul's prayer to the people in Ephesians, as it is to us, is that first of all, that it's out of God's glorious riches that he may bless the people by strengthening them with the power through the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Here again is the doctrine of God, the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Again, this is the size, the scale of who God is, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We are brought into a holy place as we pray. As we pray to our Father in heaven, may your name be holy. We actually begin to be able to recognize our God as Father and Lord. In many ways, this means that we give him his place. We start to actually love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, all our spirit, all our soul. Actually, we're starting to look at who Father is, who God is. And so, as we go into this prayer, whether we call it the Lord's Prayer, whether we call it Disciples' Prayer, but when we start with the words, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, we're moving into holy ground. We're moving into that place where we can't be at any other time. We're moving into holy ground, coming into the presence of the Father. I kneel before the Father, said Paul, that reverence, that awe, that submission, that recognition of who God is. And so we praise him. Praise him for all that he has done for us. And let's sing together. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Thank you. Father, as we bring this time of worship together, may your Spirit lead us. May he enable us to walk closer with your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we share your love, your grace, your mercy with your people. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each one of you, all those you love and all those whom you struggle to love now and until Jesus comes again. And all God's people said, Amen. May the Lord.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again in